The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. When John throughout the whole region of the Jordan, when John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's see who among you can tell me what Advent means. Pop quiz, come on. Preparation? Somebody said preparation? No. Coming? Yes, kind of.
Waiting.
Beginning?
Waiting.
Okay, beginning with the coming of Jesus, the second coming of the Lord. Any more guesses? This is good. I like this. Advent, what's that? When you cough. A time to prepare for Christmas. Good. These are all good answers. But we have to go back to the origin of the word. And some of you said it, kind of hinted upon it. Advent is the Latin translation of the Greek word parousia. 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 However you say it. Parousia. Now I can't think of it. Parousia. Parousia, right? Yeah, whatever. I always tell the lecturers, just say it with conviction and nobody knows you're wrong. Parousia. Which means presence. Presence, but also arrival. And this goes back to Roman times, to Greek times, when they would wait for the arrival, the advent of a celebrity, whether it be the king or a mythological god. Advent would mean the presence or the coming of this deity, this celebrity, this royalty. We celebrate, we've been celebrating Advent for the past 2 weeks, huh? But this Advent, this parousia, this presence of Christ, Pope Benedict, oh, come on, microphone, hold on. Pope Benedict, I've been reading a sermon by his, and it's a beauty. If you want to read it, it's in a book called Dogma and Preaching. It's a collection of sermons by Pope Benedict, my favorite pope. And in it, Pope Benedict says, for him, Advent is the beginning of a presence. The beginning of a presence. Advent, for Pope Benedict, is two things. God's presence, for him, it teaches us two things, I'm sorry. Number one, God's presence in the world has begun. God is present in a hidden way. God's presence began 2,000 years ago in a cave in Bethlehem. But it also teaches us something else. Number two, God's presence has only begun. Think about that. God's presence has begun, number one. That's what Advent teaches us. But number two, God's presence has only begun. meaning we're still waiting. That's Advent waiting. No, that we're still waiting for the complete coming of our Savior. It's like I've preached about this several times already with regards to the Our Father. No, we pray so many times, Your kingdom come, Your kingdom come, Your kingdom come. But then we have to ask ourselves, what are we actually doing to make God's kingdom come? And this begs the question, and this is what I'm going to pose to you and challenge you tonight. How radical is your Christianity? How radical is my Christianity? In the gospel today, we're presented with a figure, a radical, radical, radical figure. His name is John the Baptist. I don't think you can get any more radical than him. He left the world dressed in camel skins and he fed on locusts and honey. He looked like a crazy man. Often depictions of him have him with a long beard, unshaven, very dirty. No, just think of Father Ed. But with hair. And there you have John the Baptist. But in a way, it's true because Father Ed says it as it is. You know, that's what we all love about him. He says it as it is. Father Ed, you either hate him or you love him, no? And if you really know Father Ed, if you live with a guy, you have no choice but to love him. I can assure you of that. But my point is, that's a prophet. Father Ed, in his own way, is a prophet because he doesn't sugarcoat things. The problem with the world today is, and I've mentioned this before, we like to coddle. No, that's what's wrong with society. Everybody gets a trophy. Nobody wants to make anybody feel bad. Nobody wants to offend anybody because nobody wants to be bothered. But if we want to live our Christianity in a radical, radical way, we have to call a spade a spade. We have to call out sin. Look at John the Baptist and Herod, no? John the Baptist did not remain complacent with Herod's stance. No, it's all right, Herod. You can go out and have an affair. You can marry and divorce and do whatever you want as long as you feel good. Christianity is not about feeling good. Christianity is about proclaiming the truth. The other day I was at lunch at some people's house and I was talking and I said, you know, why is it that New Spring is attracting so many people? Why is it that everybody's flocking to New Spring? And the Catholic Church is, yeah, we have a good attendance, but it's not nothing compared to theirs. And I've been thinking about this for some time now, no? If they like the music there, why can't we kind of bring that here? You know, maybe have one mass to cater to that kind of crowd and then combine the two. Put two and two together so that we draw more people to the Catholic Church. But then it got me thinking, no, and I think I've said this before. Our faith is not about feelings. Our faith as Catholics is not about feeling good. Our faith as Catholics is not about coming to Mass to be entertained. Our faith as Catholics has to be about the truth. But as Pilate asked Jesus, no, quid est veritas, what is truth? But it's funny because Pilate had the truth there in front of him. This is what we Catholics often forget. We have the truth. We have Jesus in the Eucharist, in the institution that is church, as failed and as miserable as the church is right now, as bad as a priest may be, no matter how thick the priest's accent may be, the truth is still there because the truth is not about the priest talking or entertaining or us swaying to the music and feeling good about ourselves. The truth is Jesus Christ. And if we want to be the John the Baptist of today, if we want to have a radical Christianity, a Christianity that does not compromise, well, then we have to uphold Jesus. We have to live our Christianity to the core, not just on Saturday evenings or at 8, 10, or 12 on Sundays. Our Christianity must permeate even the way we drive, the way we stand online, the way we deal with one another. We have to uphold Jesus in our being. That's what Advent is about. Advent is about making, developing the presence, the coming, the advent of Jesus in the here and in the now. The coming of Christ began 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but the coming of Christ continues. The advent of Christ, the parousia, continues through me, through you. What are we doing? And I say this to the young people. What do I have to do to make all this click? For example, last beginning of the catechetical year, we asked for catechists, and we had a hard time coming up finding good catechists. Why? If we really want and we really believe the truth of our faith, then what's holding us back from coming in Wednesday evenings to teach these young people the truth of our faith? The problem is, our faith is not really within. And I put myself in saying this. We have to live our faith in a radical way. It doesn't mean dressing up like John the Baptist. It doesn't mean to be unshaven, unclean. It means preparing the way of the Lord. It means bringing people, first with ourselves, bringing ourselves to Jesus, and bringing Jesus and to other people, or bringing other people to Jesus. And you have to do that in a radical way. Radical to the roots, not to the core, to the core of our very being. This is what Advent teaches us, to wait, but in the process of waiting, to invite everybody else to wait with us. And in that process of inviting everybody else, a transformation of ourselves and the community into the one we wait for. I use this analogy. Imagine that you just paid $20,000 or, I don't know, $100,000 for a painting, right? You ordered a Rembrandt. You won it off of eBay, right? What are you going to do? You know that Rembrandt is going to arrive in 2 days. You had it priority shipped through Amazon Prime or whatever. And you know it's going to arrive in 2 days. What are you going to do between now and the time that painting arrives? Obviously, you're going to clean your house so that when you put that masterpiece that you spent your whole life savings on the wall, everything is going to look good. Brothers and sisters, in Advent, in our lives, we're waiting for something, someone more valuable, more regal than a painting. We're waiting for Jesus. What are we doing to prepare for that coming? What are we doing to make that coming come now? If we want Jesus, if we want to uphold Jesus, if we want to take our Christianity seriously, we have to be active. That's John the Baptist, one who challenged and one who acted upon his faith. What about us? Let's not reduce our faith to an hour on the weekends, but let us live our faith every moment of our lives. Amen.